Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy Rosemary. You're talking to us.
Oh, yes, I can be. You'll see. My name is Engels. Yes, I know. Somewhat weird. It was my Marxist-Leninist phase. Well, Angela doesn't sound exactly revolutionary, does it? The phase didn't last. But I kind of liked the name. Stands out a bit. Gets the attention. Handy for what I do. Later, when I discovered all the people inside my head, I changed it sometimes. When I was feeling good, when I was up, when all was well, I called myself Angels. Because some of them are the people inside my head. You'll see. Yes, so the people. I used to think I had multiple personality disorder. My head is a field full of folk. They inhabit me. I inhabit them. I really like it. But I thought it was nuts. Then I met this drama teacher at school, Mr. Ramakrishnan, and he changed me around for good, for all sorts of good.
You're an actor,
he said.
It's perfectly normal.
But it's a disorder, I said.
Yes, that's right, it is. You live in a disorderly house, just like me, just like all of us. But actors let it out. Actors know what to do with it.
They do?
Of course they do.
What do they do?
They strut and fret their hour upon the stage. And in that one brief hour, they become whoever they can be.
What? And he picked up this book that was on his desk. And he did this.
Be not afeared. The isle is full of noises, sounds and sweet airs that give delight and hurt not. Sometimes 1,000 twangling instruments will hum about mine ears. And sometimes voices that if I then had waked after long sleep, will make me sleep again. And then, in dreaming, the clouds methought would open and show riches ready to drop upon me, that when I waked, I cried to dream again.
So I said, oh, my God. And he said,
Engels, meet Shakespeare.
And you know what he did? God, I will never forget this as long as I live. He had the book open in his hand. And after he said, meet Shakespeare, he tore the page out, right out, carefully, reverently, and gave it to me. It was like getting the keys to the kingdom or something. Like taking holy orders, like beginning to live. And that is, in fact, how I live. That's what I do. I act. show after show, part after part, filling my head with people who I'm not, until they are who I am. So what's with the meditation thing then? Right. I was still a little worried about the disorder possibility, though the attractions of the disorderly are many and various, but, you know, the words, am I nuts, did pop up from time to time. Then, I met this guy with a bit of red cotton round his neck. So obviously I said, what's that then? And he said, oh, it's a Buddhist thing. And we got talking about it. And one of the things he told me was that for the Buddha, there is actually no one minding the shop, no central self, that I was actually normal. Everybody has those voices inside their heads, they just don't notice. And whatever in there that you think may be you is actually just another voice. And that fitted right in with something Mr. Ramakrishna used to say. Which was, when I was struggling with a part, he would shout,
Engels, get yourself out of the way.
And if I could do that, it always worked. So, not understanding one word of what the Buddhist guy was saying, I thought, right, check this out, Engels, check this out. And I signed up for a 10-day intensive meditation retreat. And here I am, and here you are too, inside my head, inside this retreat, which was, for a total know-nothing beginner, a trifle ambitious, but there you are, or rather, here I am, and here you are with me, here, in this wooden O, this empty space between my ears, this stage. And who else is here? Oh, lots of people. Lots and lots. You will see. So, this is how the session we are now in started.
Our next session begins. As before, it will last for an hour. The last hour of the third day of your 10-day retreat. All the varieties of you that you have been and seen inside yourself for all of the hours up to now will meet in this one hour, and you will continue to smile and to breathe and sit up straight. And all of them will come and go, and you will remain. Whoever you are, whatever you is, remember to smile. Don't forget to breathe, though I think you'll find, as regards the breathing, you don't have too much choice.
Don't count on it.
Remember, remember, that whoever you meet inside your head, whatever arises, is you. And only you. There is no one else in there. Be kind to the you that you meet, whoever he or she may be. Be kind and smile and breathe. There will, as usual, be a bell from time to time. From time to time. It will mark time passing, though the passing of time is also, actually, you. When you hear the bell, which will sound when you don't expect it, bring your mind back from wherever it was to the breath as it enters and leaves your body through the nose. Bring it back gently and kindly, and smile, and follow the breath.
Get on with it.
Begin, begin, begin.
Oh, my knee hurts already. 2 minutes in. Here's Rosemary. That's for remembrance. Oh, darling. Ophelia. Is that you? And pansies. That's for thoughts, thoughts, thoughts. Too many thoughts, thoughts. Like a river carrying you away. Did you smile, darling, as you drowned? Was it peaceful at last? Away from that mad, beautiful prince. Did you sing songs without words? Did you smile? God bless you, darling. I love you. I love you.
Happy birthday to you.
Who are you?
You'll find out. 30. 30 years old today. 30. With a big round zero on it. One of those big round, nearer my God to thee birthdays, isn't it?
Tell me about it.
En l'an 30e de mon âge, quand toutes mes hontes j'ai bu.
I know that from somewhere. What is it?
Villon. François Villon. Poet. Vagabond. Trickster. Thief. My kind of guy. So, what he said was, in the 30th year of my life, when I've drunk all of my shame, and of you, Engels, my love, my Axel, on your big round birthday, have you drunk all of your shame?
I have a dream, a recurring dream. I am centre stage in a small theatre. The audience is waiting. So am I, waiting to remember my lines, waiting for other actors to appear, waiting to find out what bloody play I'm in today. Then I wake up before I find out what I need to know. What is your substance? Whereof are you made that millions of strange shadows on you tend? Well, yes, that is the question, is it not? Who am I? What on earth am I doing here? And what is all this stuff that's going on inside my head? The strange shadows.
Me, for instance?
Yes, you! Come on, out with it! Who are you?
A foolish thing is but a toy, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain.
For the rain it raineth every day. Festig, a fool, the sweet sad fool.
Who told the truth.
And got the sack.
No room for truth in the happy ending, is there, my lover, my love?
I want the truth. I want to find out.
Could be uncomfortable.
Not as uncomfortable as sitting like this.
The truth is, there is only one ending.
I, but to die, and go we know not where, to lie in cold obstruction and to rot. This sensible warm motion to become a kneaded clod, and the delighted spirit to bathe in fiery floods, or to reside in thrilling region of thick-ribbed ice, To be imprisoned in the viewless winds and blown with restless violence round about the pendant world? Or to be worse than worse? Of those that lawless and incertain thought imagine howling? 'Tis too horrible. The weariest, the most loathed worldly life that age, ache, penury and imprisonment can lay on nature is a paradise to what we fear of death. Wow. Where did you come from? And who are you anyway? Hello?
We are you. Who is you?
The night before the retreat, I had the dream again. But this time it was different. I am centre stage, as usual. The audience is waiting, as they do. But in this dream, I am in the audience too. And as I watch myself, the little figure on the stage begins to perform and falters. I, the onlooker, hold my breath, anxious, wondering how to help her. I feel a gentle hand on my face. I hear a voice. I lean in like a cat. Towards the warmth of the hand, the softness of the spoken words, they say,
"Remember, love."
So I do, and as I do, the small, scared person on the stage looks up at me and smiles. We recognize each other. She begins. So, at the beginning, they sat us all down and explained the deal. The 10-day retreat. The sitting, as they called it. They went into enormous detail about the straight back, the relaxed shoulders, how to develop an intimate acquaintance with the end of your nose, for heaven's sake. And then they gave us a cup of tea. So, during the tea break, I went up to the guy in charge and said, "Hi," very friendly and nice. And he said, after thinking about it for an excruciating amount of time,
"Hello."
Yes, hello. Indeed. Now, seems to me that what you're telling us is that for hours and hours and 10 whole days, what we are to do is basically nothing. Is that right? Can that be right? He thought about it. The answer seemed to swim slowly upwards from an enormous empty depth.
"Yes."
"But I don't do nothing. Nothing is not what I do, ever. I do something. Tons of somethings. That's the whole point, isn't it? To do stuff."
"No."
"Why?"
"Yeah."
"Why? Why? Why?"
"If you do nothing, you will find out who you are."
I have no answer for that. I still have no answer for that, because damn it, God in heaven help me, I think he was right. So there he was, my leading man. The gorgeous guy currently playing opposite me in Twelfth Night and in my imagined love life. And I said to him, I said, "Are you mad?" And he sort of looked at me sideways, with a sweet, sad smile. and then he walked away. And though, before you ask, I didn't call out. I didn't go after him. I simply stood still, like patience on a monument, smiling good grief. Well, I always rather fancied doing the living statue gig. Busking's right up my street. Or maybe yours. Go on then. Ask me what I know.
What dost thou know?
Too well what love women to men may owe. In faith, they are as true a part as we. My father had a daughter loved a man, as it might be, perhaps, were I a woman, I should your lordship.
And what's her history?
A blank, my lord. She never told her love, but let concealment, like a worm in the bud, feed on her damask cheek. She pined in thought, and with a green and yellow melancholy, she sat like patience on a monument, smiling at grief. Well, I tell myself it would never have worked. He saw me as a good mate, someone to go to the pub with after the show, someone to sit next to on the tour bus. Sometimes, you know, he would fall asleep next to me and I would find his head on my shoulder. He trusted me and I loved him for it. And I would hold my breath and hope, hoping something would come of it, this trust, this players' camaraderie, this motley midsummer medley. Well, there's nothing quite so lowering of the spirits as unrequited hope. You know what I think? I think you're pathetic. Oh, thanks! That's all I need. What happened to sitting pretty like patience on that bloody monument? And you know what I would do?
Why? What would you?
Make me a willow cabin at your gate, and call upon my soul within the house. Write loyal cantons of contemned love, and sing them loud, even in the dead of night. Halloo your name to the reverberate hills, and make the babbling gossip of the air cry out, Olivia! Oh, you should not rest between the elements of air and earth, but you should pity me. So I said to him, the gorgeous guy, I said, are you mad? And he went into his Hamlet riff.
I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises. And indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory. This most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave or hanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire. Why, it appeareth nothing to me but a foul and pestilent congregation of vapours. What a piece of work is man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculties, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals, And yet, to me, what is this quintessence of dust?
Well, I said to myself, two can play at that game, old chum. And I gave him my never-before-witnessed, by anyone but me, Ophelia. Witness me now, I thought, if you dare. Oh, what a noble mind is here, O throne. The courtiers, soldiers, scholars, eye, tongue, sword, the expectancy and rose of the fair state, the glass of fashion and the mould of form, the observed of all observers quite dull. And I, the lady's most deject and wretched, that sucked the honey of his music vows, now see that noble and most sovereign reason like sweet bells jangled out of tune and harsh, that unmatched form and feature of blown youth blasted with ecstasy. Oh, woe is me, to have seen what I have seen. See what I see.
And did that make things any better? Did you perchance fall headlong into a warm embrace? And happy ever after ending?
Well, what do you think?
I think you totally screwed up.
Deeper than did ever plummet sound.
Angels and ministers of grace defend us.
Couldn't have put it better myself, dear clown. You know how to cheer a girl up.
I think I'd better hang around, don't you?
I'd appreciate that.
Here today. Can't promise tomorrow.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's me, the poor player. Got it, William. Got it in one. So that was that then. The show was over in every way. Final curtain. The post-show cast party and he cast off. He cast me off. The theatre dark as maladroit midnight. Somehow, hoping for a callback, the possibility of a new run with my leading man, I checked my phone regularly. I checked my emails manically. I even checked the front door for incoming letters and lingered longingly at the window as the postman passed me by. Oh, well, I sighed. At least I had my work-life balance under control at last. No work, no life. Perfect! Then one day, one sunny midsummer day, I saw them walking by the river and holding hands, just like we never did. It was her, him, and her. He was back with her again, my vertically challenged friend. How happy some of the other some can be. So Athens, I am thought as fair as she. But what of that? Demetrius thinks not so. He will not know at all, but he do know, and as he errs, doting on Hermia's eyes, so I, admiring of his qualities, things base and vile, folding no quantity, love can transpose the form and dignity. Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind. Nor hath love's mind of any judgment taste. Wings and no eyes, figure unheedy haste, and therefore is love said to be a child, because in choice he is so oft beguiled, as waggish boys in game themselves forswear. So the boy love is perjured everywhere. For ere Demetrius looked on Hermia's eyne, he hailed on oaths that he was only mine. This hail, some heat from Hermia felt, some heat dissolved, and showers of oaths did melt.
So what's it like, this meditation thing? Isn't it a bit, you know, boring?
That's what people say. And I say, boring? Boring doesn't even come near it. Boring isn't even in the same bit of the syllabus. It's so boring, so limitlessly tedious, and it's actually rather interesting. It's so far beyond boring that it meets itself, coming back, seeing itself for the first time, and they say, Engels, you are so full of bullshit. Which may be true. A meditation retreat is like rowing a very small boat across the Atlantic. That's if the Atlantic was a huge, calm, flat pond. And there you are, rowing away in your tiny boat across the huge, calm, implacable ocean. And what you're doing is looking for America.
America? What do you mean, America?
America is what I mean. The farther shore. But only if America were legendary, awesome, jewel-like and inexplicable.
Okay, and where is it?
Well, everywhere. And right here. And nowhere to be found. Oh, and the boat has holes in. Lots of holes. And what comes through the holes? Thoughts. And more thoughts. And what's in the thoughts? Memory. And desire. Ask me, what do you use to get yourself across the calm Atlantic? This vast expanse of ocean.
Okay, what?
Your nose. That's what. I kid you not. Follow the breath as it comes in and goes out through the nose. That's what they say. Don't move, don't talk, don't think, don't feel, just watch the breath in the nose. I'm telling you. The nose comes to have an entirely disproportionate part in your world. An enormous part. Basically, it's all you've got to get you through. Your lifeline, your safety rope, your atlas, your sat-nav, your last best friend. And yes, you are indeed awash with mixed metaphors, flooded with them. Because what you're looking for is inexplicable, beyond description, utterly other. And right there, in front of you. And you know what? It's great. It's crazy. It's wonderful. Disorderly. Maddening. Beautiful. Weird.
And how do you get there again? To this other America?
To the promised land? Why? You follow your nose. All right. I admit it. I didn't suddenly lurch into a 10-day retreat because of some sort of philosophical or psychiatric investigation to find out if I was nuts or not. I ran away. That's what I did. I ran away from a guy. Away from memory. Away from desire. And he haunts me still. And okay, I didn't happen to mention that earlier because... Well, because I am not, I like to think, a person who measures out her life in emotional disasters. No. What about that really good Lady Macbeth I did? What about her? Or my show-stopping Viola? Yes, her. But yes, it's all too true. There was a guy who said goodbye. And he haunts me still. Last night I had the dream again. Glad to be in the theatre. Glad to be on stage. I look out at my audience through the glare of the lights and wait to make my mark. Nothing happens. Nothing arises. A clear, spacious, infinite, heavenly now. I remember the softly whispered words.
Remember love.
And I do. I do. And as my body broadcasts the love I'm remembering, I am in love with everyone. Every single one in my audience. And they, I know, with me. Except there is no single one. Nor any me. Not out there. Not on the stage. Not even in the tech box. No, definitely not in the tech box. When the words arise, I am not acting. I simply, beautifully am. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out, even to the edge of doom, if this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved. Right. Time to get the men in my head sorted. Time to pay my debts before I can move on. So, here's to the true lovers, the ones who led me forward, makers, not users, those who were kind. Here's to the ones who were marvellous, who made love gently, knew me deeply, set me free. Not many like that. Hardly any, but some. There were some. The skydivers, sun seekers, sea discoverers, beautiful dreamers, the nice men. Thank you, all of you, the happy few. But now I must sail the lonely ocean, vast and silent, looking for the promised landfall. Under a great grey sky.
That was nice. Did you make that up all by yourself?
Well, yes, sort of. With a little help from all the other poets who have ever lived.
That's because everything's connected, right?
Too true, my friend. And poetry will save the world one theatre ticket at a time.
Okay, now forget it.
All of it?
All of it. Sweep it clean away. It's time to move on.
So, to the ones who made me happen, wrote my name inside myself, took me in hand and taught me something, the ones who listened, the lovers who were my friend, may you have many happy endings, may the sun shine sometimes, may you be free, as I now am. So here I sit. Like patience on her monument, smiling at grief. And now I I speak at last of love, vaster than oceans and more deep.
May the sun shine sometimes. May the sun shine sometimes. May the sun shine sometimes. May you be free. May you be free.
I was in a movie once. I was the star. Yes, really. I'd forgotten about it until this morning. Memory's a funny thing, isn't it? I'm 8 years old, you see, walking home from school, a long, straight suburban road. I like it. I'm on my own and it's quiet and easy. No one to please, no one to offend. I seem to be quite good at offending people. Not sure why. I don't mean it to be that way. Lots of trees, pretty gardens. A passing cat looks up at me and winks. I like cats. I'm still hoping we'll get one, though I know we won't. It's my secret dream and it's nice. The occasional car moves past me, slowly, slowly in my mind's eye. Though that seems unlikely, doesn't it? And suddenly I understand. I am walking through a film set, following a set of directions. That horrid day at school was simply a scene in my movie. The gang of giggling and grinning girls that chase me through the playground, simply actors playing their parts. And although I'm feeling a bit scared, no, she is feeling scared about what she will find when she gets home in about 10 minutes' time now. That too is simply another scene, another set, another collection of actors. Above me, way, way up in the pale blue heavens, I can hear the director. She gives me good advice, encourages me, lets me know I'm doing a good job, that she is in charge and I am safe. Maybe, I think. Maybe one day they will apologise. Maybe not. It mattered then. Quite a lot, actually. It doesn't matter now.
If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered ere while these visions did appear, and this weak and idle theme no more yielding but a dream. Gentles, do not reprehend. If you pardon, we will mend. And as I am an honest puck, if we have unearned luck, now to scape the serpent's tongue, we will make amends ere long, else the puck a liar call. So good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
Yes, that's it. That would do nicely.
And another thing. At the end of the day, what is the point of being an actor? All that work, that effort, that single-mindedness, what is it for? What am I ever but a plaything of the play? A creature who embodies someone else's creation? A mouthpiece? A puppet? Well, I'll tell you. No, I'll show you. Here is what it is to be an actor. Here is my so potent art. Ye elves of hills, brooks, standing lakes and groves, and ye that on the sands with printless foot do chase the ebbing Neptune and do fly him when he comes back, you demi-puppets that by moonshine do the green sour ringlets make, whereof the ewe not bites, and you whose pastime is to make midnight mushrooms that rejoice to hear the solemn curfew, by whose aid, weak masters though ye be, I have bedimmed the noontide sun called forth the mutinous winds, and twixt the green sea and the azured vault set roaring war. To the dread, rattling thunder have I given fire, and rifted Jove's stout oak with his own bolt. The strong base promontory have I made shake, and by the spurs plucked up the pine and cedar. Graves, at my command, have waked their sleepers, oped, and let them forth by my so potent art. And what you may be wondering is, what's it like, this thing that you're after? The farther shore, America, the other place, the destination. Well, oddly enough, even though I'm only on the third day, I sort of know. Sort of. Because just to start on this strange path is to have a sense of arrival of what it's like. To have a tiny realization right at the very beginning that you were there already. That it's been there all the time waiting under your nose, you might say. Okay, fine, Engels, I hear you say. What is it like then? Out with it. Well, I'll tell you. It's like the peace of God. The peace of God.
That passeth all understanding?
That's the one, my beautiful fictional friend.
So, if you don't understand it, that means you're really getting it.
Absolutely. Got it in one. Right on the nose. However.
Yes?
I have one little problem.
What's that then?
What about the bliss?
Bliss? What bliss?
Like it says in the books. Keep meditating and find bliss.
And you don't?
No way.
What do you find there?
Thoughts. Thoughts and thoughts. Too many thoughts. I keep batting them away and they keep coming back. It's like playing ping pong in a jam jar with 16 balls, blindfold.
Not blissful.
Not in the least.
It's because you're not smiling.
What?
You're supposed to smile. Imagine the Buddha. What's he doing?
Smiling.
If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for you.
But I've got nothing to smile about.
You don't need anything to smile about. Just smile. Close your mouth and stretch it sideways, both ways, just a little, and turn up the corners into a little sweet smile. Try it.
It's crazy.
Try it.
But why? Why?
Because if you smile, if you just make the physical movements of a smile, nature, in her wisdom, releases a little dose of endorphins into your system.
What? Endorphins? What?
Endorphins. Pleasure hormones.
Why?
As a little reward for being nice to each other. And therefore increasing, just by a tiny amount, the survival prospects of the human race. Look, will you stop asking questions and just do it? Sit up straight, smile, and breathe.
Hey.
What?
My mind.
Yes, what about it?
It feels...
Yes.
Like...
Yes?
It feels like a box of chocolates.
Good.
You're not kidding, good.
It's a start.
A start? It feels like any time anyone ever said yes to me. Like joy. It feels like joy.
What it is half of it.
Half of it? Holy moly, what does the rest of it feel like?
Find out.
Okay, what do I do?
Sit.
Yes.
Smile.
Oh, yes.
Breathe.
Yes, yes.
Give it away.
What?
On the out-breath, give it away.
Who to?
Everyone.
Everyone?
Oh, yes. To all sentient beings everywhere in the universe, without exception. give it away to them. On the out-breath, on the in-breath, breathe in the smile. On the out-breath, give it away to everyone. Do it. Keep doing it. Sit, smile, breathe.
And with that, it is time to say goodbye to all the fictions inside my head and move on into stillness. Goodbye to Viola, Prospero, Claudio, Macbeth, Ophelia, sweet Ophelia, and to all of Shakespeare's world.
Even me?
Especially you, my love.
Sacked again then, is it? A foolish thing is but a toy.
Everything is but a toy, my dear. But the sun it shineth every day, whether you can see it or not. And goodbye to you too, my dears. The other half of every drama. My audience. Our revels now are ended. These are actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits, and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherits shall dissolve. And, like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep.
The rest is silence.
In One Woman in Her Time, you have been listening to Lorna Meehan as Engels and Ophelia, Claudio, Viola, Macbeth, Helena and Prospero. And you heard Ramesh Krishnamurti as Mr. Ramakrishnan, Caliban, the meditation teacher, Feste the Clown, Orsino, Hamlet, a fellow student and Horatio. For those of you who like details, you'll find them on our theatre website, www.somesuchtheatre.com. One Woman in Her Time is a Strange Shadows production.
May you be free. May you be free. May you never sunshine sometimes.